session number 11213, reel 2.
Mr. J. Lam, reel 2. Whilst you're at the depot, Mr. Lam, I have one or two more questions. What duties and fatigues did you have to do?
Well, as far as duties are concerned, it was mainly... We had practically no duties to do, actually. It was all training and PT. The main thing was PT all the time. Majority first kick-off, getting you fit. And I used to do a bit cross-country running myself. I used to do running over the moors outside Newcastle, Nuns Moor and all that, you know. Run about 3 miles and back, and then right into the barrack room. You've got 3 minutes to get changed and get out for marching parade. All this and the other. When that was over, it was all go. Right. When you did a bit marching, etc., that was all over. And then, right, you've got 3 minutes to get in the barracks and get changed and out again for something else. Maybe drill parade or something like that. And it was all go, keep going all the time. You were never stopped. And, by gosh, when we first started, it was a bit rough at first, but by... When you got broke in, got used to it, you start to enjoy it. I know I did.
How did you take to these early days after coming from your home into the army where there was the lack of privacy and there were people around you? How did you take to that?
Well, it didn't seem to affect me much because, I mean, to say, well, I was at home, I was out of work and all this and that. And when you're out of work at home and you're just lounging around, you can't get a job and all this and you're there. You get fed up with it the same as I did, so I had to join the army. So when they did get in the army, then you found out comradeship started amongst the lads. And it was a different environment altogether. I mean, say in City Street, you had your certain pals and all this and the other, you go for a drink together and all this and the other. But it seemed, look at all the comrades you had in the army, all this squad of about 30-odd men. And they were all mucking in together and enjoying yourselves together, taking it off for the bad all the time, the good and the bad. You had the good times and the bad times.
Can you recall any of the bad times?
Pardon?
Can you recall any bad moments?
No, not actually.
What about
reserve? I can't remember much of the officers because there was only the commanding officer of the depot. I can't even remember his name. I think that's all it was. The main thing was your sergeant instructor, your corporal instructor, and your lance corporal instructor. Them the three men you had to deal with. Now, their job, the sergeant's responsible, he was Sergeant Scott and Corporal Reek. It was their job to get ready for to join the battalion. And you had to be ready. I remember a squad that was there. I don't know, it was either Hooge, Salamanca, Ains, and then there was Inkerman. Them were the four squads. And there was a sergeant, he was called Cushy, Sergeant Eldred. And he was softly, he said to the lad, mate, you mind... You might have heard I'm called Cushy Ernie, but there's nothing cushy about me when I start, mind. So don't forget it. Things like that happen. And we all got together and pulled together and had a good time.
Was there any sign of any bullying at all?
None whatever. We had never seen any bullying of any sort.
No initiation ceremonies? This?
No, there was no such thing as what's happening today in the army. It was discipline in those days, real discipline. You only had to put one foot wrong and you had to jump for it.
Well, gambling, was there much gambling?
We used to do a bit card playing on the sly at something like this in the barrack room. But it's nothing compared to what happened in China when we met there, which I'll tell you about later on. But there wasn't much of that even.
And this was against regulations, gambling?
Pardon?
Gambling was against regulations.
It was. Definitely against regulations. You were there for training purposes and to get yourself ready for the battalion, which had to be done in 6 months. You had no time for anything else. You kept going all the time.
Route marches. Did you go on route marches?
I can't ever remember a route march. Can't even remember a route march. No, I can't. All I can remember is, roughly, I can't remember much, but I can remember a lot of the drill parades. You started with your marching and counter marching and learn how to march, how to left, right, and left wheel and all this and the other. And it was a form fours then, and form twos. Not like the present day, which is started on the three rank business. It was form fours. Then used to march in fours then.
Did you do any weapon training?
We did a bit bayonet training. They used to put the sacks up when we got properly used to the rifle on the bayonet. And you had your bayonet and rifle on and you used to like charge the sack in. You're killing them. You're killing them, man. You're killing them. Get that bayonet in and draw it out clean. All that. We did a bit of that. But not so much. We did it.
Did you come across any other weapon other than the rifle in these early days?
No, that was the only thing we learned. The Enfield rifle, 303. Oh, yes, that was the only one we had. Only one I can remember. .303 rifle.
What was the food like?
Pardon?
What was the food like?
I can't even remember the food. I can't even remember it.
And what forms of recreation did you have when you were off your parades and off duty?
Well, you weren't allowed out until you did 6 weeks training and you'd get passed out fit to go out with your uniform, dressed in your uniform, in your SD uniform, which we had then, white belt. And I remember when we were out there for the first 6 weeks after we learned, it would make you present, well, you're presentable to the public. You had to be, you had a cane. You were sitting with a cane. And you had to carry the cane straight in your right arm, just like as though you're carrying a rifle at the trail, like you do when you were marching. You had this cane, and you used to take this cane out with you, and you had to carry that in your right arm just properly, every time. And I remember when I first went out, when I was first allowed out, there was an MP on the gate. One of the old soldiers from the barracks, from the regiment, was just to take a chance for MP duties. And there was an old chap, Dally Lawler. He was a very old, he was an MP all his life. A regimental policeman, that's as far, he never wanted anything else. And I'm not sure whether it's him that was on the gate, but when I went out, he just looked up and said, "Here, that white belt of yours is at this gate. Get yourself away back and get it cleaned properly." Well, we'd heard all these tricks and that, that to send somebody back. So I just went back to the barrack room. And I didn't even touch the belt. And then when I went back, I just went back again. No, that's a lot better. Why was it like that last time? So I just walked past and said, things like that happened.
Did you go into the town on an evening? Did you go into the town?
No, it's very people were always going home to their families. It was just a day out. You had to be in, back in it. So you went out in the afternoon. You had to be back in about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So the only thing you did was just go to the... You went to visit your family. Or visit your girlfriends or anything like that. And then... Well, it's just a day at home and then back to barracks again. My gosh, if you were late back. You got 7 days to confine that. You've lost your 7 days TV. Well, you're confined to barracks.
How were you received at home when you turned up in your uniform? By friends, neighbours?
Pardon?
How were you received at home when you first came back with your uniform?
Well,
by friends and neighbours?
They thought, I don't know how they felt, but they said, if you're in the army, you'll have to make the best of it. But I said, it's better than me now I'm on the dole and have a new kid in me, and you get nothing for me, the guardians. So I says, I think it's better than for myself, and I've done it. That's all there's to it.
So you did 6 months, was it, with the depot?
Pardon?
6 months did you do with the depot?
You do roughly about 6 months at the depot. And then when you're 6 months out, you had the passing out parade and all this near there. And the chap has a photo of the full squad here, the chap that's interviewing me. And you had our photos taken, which have Mr... Mr. Moses, who was interviewing me at the present moment, I showed him a photo of this squad and with all the lads on, all our squad. And then when that was taken, and right, the next thing was we went down to catch and join the battalion.
You had a trophy on that squad photograph. What was that?
Pardon?
You have a trophy. You have a trophy at the front of the squad. What was that for?
Oh, that was a sports. We also had a sports photograph taken, which you had already seen. The inter-squad sports, like between the four squads that was there. And you used to have competitions between the various squads, like boxing, cross-country running, race, 100 yards, and all the other all sports at certain times of the month and all this and that. That went down.
So after 6 months or thereabouts and your passing out parade, you were then moved to where?
Before we went down to Celtic, we got a week's leave at home, I think it was. And then when we came back, you're ready to go down the battalion now, and that was it. Our squad had finished its duty, said, passed out, all the men had passed out all right, and were ready to join the battalion. And they were, he said, right, the sergeant said, right, now, I think you're suitable soldiers now to join the battalion. Mind, don't let this squad down when you get down there, or you know what you get. So that was it. So the next time was, we went down to Celtic. Johnny Battalion was stationed Catholic there, the 3rd Battalion.
How were you received?
Well, when we arrived at Catholic, the band was there to meet us. I don't know where it was, like it's an outside station or something, but I can't remember even travelling down to Catholic. I would travel down to that. But I remember marching into the barracks with the band and bugles in front of us. Imagine, come on, get the step, all this near there, and we suddenly enjoyed it. And we landed in the barracks, and we all distributed around to various companies, etc. And we all split up.
Which company were you assigned to?
Well, I can't remember which company it was. I think it was Sergeant Major Brown's company that I went to. He's called Topper Brown. I was his company that I went to. And then, while we were down there, we went down Catholic Club. And then we started doing a bit of training and all that and the other. On the moors round Catholic. Out all night. Keeping in the ditches and all this and the other. We were in, getting used to all this carry on. And parading with the battalion and all that and the other. And then we were only down about 3 months. And then the battalion left for Blackdown.
Whilst you were there, were you being introduced to other weapons? Whilst you were there at Catterick, were you being introduced to other weapons?
No. Never introduced to any other weapons. I've never seen anything but 303 rifle.
Didn't see anything like the Bren. Well, the Bren gun wouldn't be in existence at that time, was it? The Bren gun wasn't in existence.
No, the Bren gun was just the Lewis gun in them days. But we never even met the Lewis gun. I mean, that's all it was training on the moors, getting us used to the training business. All this new. Then, just about 3 or 4 months at Catterick, and then the battalion left out for Blackdown. And then, when we got down to Blackdown, we were all put in various places like, and then we'd only been there about 2 or 3 weeks. I'd not had time to get settled down. You know, you're notified there's a draft up for India. You better go and have a look at it. So, replacements for time-expired men in India, a battalion in Bombay. Now, my name was on. And there was also another Benny Lamb. He was from Perry Hill. His name was on. And quite a few my squad mates and men out of various other squads. This Benny Lamb had been the squad before me, and he'd left the depot before me. There's quite a few more, all mixed up from various squads that left there previously, before us. And we looked at the list, and I was one, and Benny Lamb was one. I just can't remember any of the other ones. Just quite a few. Slaggy Hall was one.
So you were only there a few weeks, and then you were in the 2nd Battalion of the Durham Light Infantry.
Yes, that made us, had joined up in 1934. And this was in February, 1935. 6 months at the depot, then the Catterick, and then within a year and a month, I was in Bombay with the same battalion. That was quick work, I thought.
Now, about your journey from Blackdown to where you left from, where did you sail from?
Well, I can't exactly remember. I think it must have been Southampton, although I can't exactly remember the port we left from, but I do remember the ship, the old Navassa, which was one of the regular troop ships in Norway. There was quite a few troop ships, regular troop ships for troop ship duty. The Dorsetshire, the Lancashire, the Navassa, and such of them.
What were the conditions like on board?
Oh, well, we went on board, but we were... When we went down, it was all strange to us. I know it was to me. You went down below, and there was hammocks. Not beds, bunks, anything. There was hammocks. You got your hammock, and there was hooks downstairs, down below, where you hung your hammocks up. And you see me about maybe 100 men, all in one place. Your hammocks was only about a yard apart. And by God, it took some taking to get used to these hammocks. You used to get up and climb in, fall straight out again. Only you got to know how they had that. That's what they had to sleep in when you go aboard.
What was the food like?
I remember when we were travelling from to India, and one or two of the lads got seasick. It never affected me, but one or two of the lads got seasick. But when you did get seasick, it was a nice thing. So you used to go down for breakfast. Breakfast, you get them. I remember bacon and eggs. And one of the lads was seasick. He used to hang on. You know, he used to, what, likes of me, that was all right. Not the time. Do you fancy chop greasy bacon? And he used to upstairs and throw it over the side. Then they also had a swimming pool on the deck. And I'd never swum in my blooming life. So, right, swimming pool upstairs, get your shoulder to get in. And they say, right, they're going to want to throw you in. Get in, swim part. Sink if you like. And that's how I learned to swim. I've never swum in my human life. But they used to throw you in. Get in. You're splashing around. You learn to swim all right by the time you got to India, you swimmer.
Did you have any training to do on board the ship while you were going?
Any what, Pat?
Did you have any training of any kind to do?
No training whatever. Nothing, just lifeboat drill. That was the thing. That was the only thing you did, lifeboat drill.
How did you fill your time in?
Well, we used to playing cards on deck, all right. It was loud, all this and the other. Walking around the ship, watching the sea and all the things, watching the dolphins and sharks and all this and the other, what we'd never seen before in our lives. And then when we came in from the cold of England and went into the warm weather of India, you more or less discarded your RT and you put your KD on it, which you'd been issued with a blood down. London in India. I have a photo here, taking a blood down of this KD, which were issued with a blood down, and the topies. Well, they weren't topies, they were what you used to wear. He had your proper topies. And you had the ordinary topics that you used to wear for rough work or anything like that. But you had your proper topics for working out in what was a Wolsey helmet. You had the two. You had the one which, the Wolsey helmet, which was properly pointed piece, and you had the just around the topi, which you wear normally for rough parades and all that.
What made up your KD?
Pardon?
What made up your KD? What articles of uniform was your KD?
Well, you had your slacks and shirt and your shorts, which you wore with your putties. You still kept your putties on. And like a sock with a red band on, you turned over your putty. Shorts and shirt, that was it.
Just to go back to Blackdown briefly, Mr. Lamb, were you given any embarkation leave?
Anywhere?
Any embarkation leave when you knew you were going? Were you given embarkation leave?
No, we got no embarkation. I can't remember getting any embarkation club. We got our leave before we left. We left Gatwick.
How did you feel about going abroad?
Well, another thing, before we left Blackdown, right, inoculation time, we've all been inoculated. TB needle. So, we went for this inoculation before we had to go away. And one or two of the lads, and as soon as they got the needle, it flat, faded straight out. By gosh, when we got it, the next morning we woke up. We couldn't move out of bed. Our arms was well swelled up and all that, you know. Well, pretty bigot. And we couldn't even eat our breakfast that day. Properly knocked out with his TB. First time, and yellow fever needles, etc.
And you were given that time to recover. The army didn't bother you that day.
Oh, no, you got excused duties and all that, like, you know. Well, yes, etc. But the time I was at country, at Blackdown, and I may even had any time when he used it, anything, I don't think.
Have you any memories of your fellow men who didn't want to go abroad, but who were going?
Before I went abroad, at Blackdown. Well, we used to go out for the night, like, and go down to Guildford for a drink and see the town, like, and all that, and then walk back again. It was just about half an hour's walk.
But everyone that was going abroad wanted to go.
Hmm?
Everyone who was going abroad wanted to go.
Well, wasn't it? Was it a choice of wanted to go? You had to go. And that was it. But as a matter of fact, when we did land in India, I thought, I myself was quite rude, we thought it was better soldiers in India than it was at home. There was less what they call spit and polish. It was all spit and polish when you were home in England. Parade and this, parade that, and all this and that. Where, when we got to India, we found out, when we landed at Bombay, the battalion was up at Dulali doing training, and there was only the band at Bombay when we got there.
What was your first impressions of India when you landed?
Well, we didn't get much to see of the town or anything in India. All we seen was the barracks, and pretty comfortable barracks, and the modern barracks and all this and the other big barracks, Kalaba. And there was a church army place, like where I used to go to, down the town where all the soldiers used to go. Just forget the name of it now. But anyway, we went straight up to Dulali. We got to fix it up with a meal, and then right here, go up and join the top battalion for training.
Were you assigned to a company again?
Yes, we were assigned to our various companies, and I was assigned to A company, and so was Benny Lamb. Various other chaps on the D company, C company, A, B, C and D companies, the four companies, various split up, various companies. And the CSM, Company Sand, made of A company then with a chap called Dougie Spencer. An A company, and Captain Padgett was A company commander. Captain Padgett, that's right, he was A company commander. And Dougie Spencer was the sergeant major.
And what are your memories of the things that you did when you arrived with the battalion?
Well, the first time we went, we landed up at Dulali.